part number two of binding, loosing, and agreeing in prayer. Just say that with me. Say binding, loosing, and agreeing in prayer. So the context and the concept that we need to grasp is that we have to release our authority in prayer. So we're learning about prayer. See, prayer is just not throwing what we call in football language, and hopefully you understand this, Hail Marys. You're not just trying to hope and wish God catches it and replies to you. No, we're not supposed to be taking a stab at prayer. Amen. And a stab it in the dark, so to speak. We're supposed to be very confident. Amen. And committed to an effective prayer life. An effective prayer life. Praise God. We said before, bears repeating again, prayer is like oxygen. You saw the last song, they had the little oxygen symbol. Prayer is like oxygen. If you don't breathe, you don't live. And the word of God is like food. Faith food, faith food. Amen. And so if you don't eat, you don't live. So you got to eat and breathe. Isn't that right? And so that's what this Wednesday night agenda is about this month and next month. So in your handouts, we'll go through the our theme scriptures again just to reestablish the concept of what we're building upon. And in Luke 11:1, in the New Living Translation, it says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, he finished, and one of his disciples came to him, saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And just as John taught his disciples. And so that should be our heart posture, our heart attitude. This is the call to pray. This is the call to pray. Everybody say, I'm called to pray. Hallelujah. And that's the first slot there you can put in. And to pray and to learn how to pray more effectively. So you got to know that God's calling you to pray. Not calling you to pout. He's calling you to pray. John 15:7, Passion Translation says, but if you live in life union with me and my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. And so these are the conditions in which to pray. These are the conditions in which to pray. So there are conditions. You got to live in life union with Jesus. That means not only to be in relationship, but also fellowship. And of course, his words live powerfully in you. How powerfully the word is in you, it determines if you can ask what you will. Amen? I like what Mark Hankins said to us, or actually said to me, sitting across the table about a week or so ago up in Fredericksburg. He said, you know, a lot of people struggle in areas because they don't receive the word of God appropriately. And so we talked for a few minutes about what it means to receive the word of God appropriately. Amen. Because this is what it's meaning. The word has to live powerfully in you. It can't be just head knowledge. It's got to be heart knowledge and life behavior. Amen. 1 John 5:14-15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So this is the confidence and compassion of prayer. Confidence is our side that when we ask according to his will, we know that it's heard. Now, the context of this, is the meaning, the truth principle of this, that prayers that are heard are qualified to be answered. So if you ask anything according to his will, then that he will hear them. The compassion side is that God will give us the petitions that we've asked of him. Answered prayer is guaranteed. Amen? So we pray according to the word, which is according to his will. You find it in the Bible. you know, that that's God's word, that means it's also God's will. What does the word say about it? And there should not be any question, amen, when it comes to healing and getting our needs met and seeing our children saved, amen, and seeing our family, experiencing family peace, amen. Now, we're going to talk about that in a minute because sometimes we let the enemy of our soul kind of get us twisted in our thinking. See, answered prayer is guaranteed. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, God wants you to be able to pray effectively so you don't have any hindrance in accomplishing your assignment. Now, we said before, and we said everybody's got an assignment individually and as a family. Amen. Member of a family and a member of the church family. You have an assignment on three different dimensions. Amen. So individually, you know, could God just raising you up to be a man, woman of God, with a specific development of your God-given gifts and graces that he's given you. That's your contribution to the world around you. That means you gotta walk that out and work that out by faith. Amen. And so and then you have a collective mission or assignment that's first in your natural family, you know, particularly in the prayer area. If family members are not saved and obeying the Lord, then that's your assignment. You got to use your faith to influence them to come into the kingdom, to come into obedience to the word of God. So often we're not cognizant or committed to that assignment. Cognizant means that we're not aware of it. And committed means that we're not committed to pray, because that's going to cause a little bit of hardship on our time and energy and flesh. Amen. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good right now. Hallelujah. And then there's an assignment in the context of the local church. That means you have a grace, you have a place, you have a race to run. I can't do your assignment. You can't do mine. But we need each other to do our assignments together. Amen. It's not my job to do your job. It's not your job to do mine. I have to do mine. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's just an example there. Praise God. I won't charge you for that. All right. Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers. That means the enemy will be persistent against you to stop praying. Because the backdrop of this verse is Ephesians 6:10, that we have to be strong in the Lord, be powers of might, put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because there's a spiritual battle that we're involved in. And what does that do? It keeps us from doing our assignment. Amen. And, people say, well, you don't have the sin of, you know, perhaps sin of alcoholism, sin of drugs, or sin of, sexual sins, but there may be a sin of prayerlessness. Because what did he tell? You remember what he told his disciples when he was at his worst moment in time? He said what? He said, watch and what? Pray. Why? So that you don't enter into what? No, I'm pretty sure at that hour in that garden, there wasn't a whole bunch of fanfare. There wasn't females around running around selling their body to them. So they weren't tempted by that. They weren't tempted by a whole bunch of alcohol and drugs at that time. What were they tempted to do? To not pray. To not watch and pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:18 says, in the Passion Translation, says, pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all his believers. That means your part of your prayer assignment is others, not just yourself. We've said it before, I'll bear repeating it again. It's hard to receive from a service you haven't prayed for. Amen. It's hard to receive from a pastor you don't pray for. Praise the Lord. It's hard to receive from a spouse or a family member that you're not praying for. You know, they may be off, way out of base, out of line, out of God. But if you're not praying for it, you'll never have compassion. And you won't hear them, the cries of their heart. Because you're too busy looking at the behavior of their life. And sometimes that's just a little thing that the devil can get in and cause you to not pray for him. Amen. Think about the first intercessory prayer recorded in Scripture, Genesis chapter 18. And who was it? Abraham, talking to the Lord. And what did he do? He was not praying for himself. Because the Lord told him what he's going to do. He's going to take out Sodom and Gomorrah, the twin cities, those wicked cities. And he began to pray for them because he had conversation with God. And the first intercessory prayer was not for himself. It was for others. It was for a wretched, wicked people who didn't even care about God. And he was pleading with the judge of all to say, would you spare these cities? Amen. Because sometimes in praying, we get so narrow-minded or tunnel vision where we're just thinking about us and what we need and what I got to believe for and what am I going through. My God, we got to get our minds thinking about other people. Turn over a plate sometimes and fast and pray for your family members that are in need. Break the power of the devil over those family members that are even thinking about God, that may even be serving the devil outright. Lay down your life and pray for them. Praise the Lord. And so you see the two highlighted prayers. We're going to be talking about the prayer of agreement. We may just cover just binding and loosing, but this is part two. You can probably get last week's recording and listen to it. We talked about that a little bit last week. But the main thing we want to get to you is binding and loosing, because this is part of your authority in prayer. Now, agreement is too, but our major theme or focus is going to be around binding and loosing. Now, again, when you think of this, don't think of just the phrase, I bind or I loose. No, think about it. In the contextual concept we're trying to convey to you or communicate to you is that it's releasing your authority in prayer. It's taking authority in prayer. Amen. Now, Matthew 16:18, you see it, and 19 right there. And I say unto you that you are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church. Now, he wasn't talking about Peter, the little rock. He was talking about him, the revelation of who he is, the Christ, the Son of the living God, this revelation, amen, and that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What revelation? That he was going to be risen as Christ and Lord, the risen King. That's why you got to be cognizant of religions that always got you focused on Jesus at the cross. He's not at the cross anymore. The cross was his substitutionary sacrifice for us, our sins. But he rose from the dead victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Amen? And stripped and spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. Amen? He triumphed in that death, burial, and resurrection. So we have to look at him as a risen King, a risen Lord, a risen Savior. Come on now. And an exalted Lord. But the beauty is we're in him. Amen? So he said, verse 19, look at this. Look at it. You got it right there in your handout. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom. My goodness, this is like giving your kids car keys to the car. Whatever keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, revelation of this key is our spiritual authority and is a key to reigning in life. He talks about a kingdom, which is basically a king's domain. And he said, I'm giving you keys to the king's domain, my domain. See, we are to rule and reign as kings in life because we are in Christ. And it's through him and by him that we are to reign. Romans 5:17 tells us that those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, everybody say that's me, shall reign in life through Christ, through Jesus Christ. Now, the Amplified said, reign as kings in life. Now, kings rule, kings reign. But you're a king, little k. He's the big K. And so he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's you and me. Amen. And so because he's the big K, we as the little K have keys to the kingdom. Now you've got the scriptures there in Revelations. You see it further down. You can reference to. I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. So we've been recreated in Christ Jesus for dominion and have been given divine authority. He delegated it to us to use his name, use the name. Now, what does the name represent? Everything Jesus was, is, and will ever be. There's power, like we saw, in the name of Jesus. Amen? That means there's been a power of attorney, a legal transfer of authority, right, and privilege to use the name. That's part of your inheritance that you enjoy as part of his kingdom. He's given you and I the name. And that name represents everything, everything he was, is. So you don't need Jesus to come down from heaven. You just need to use the name to straighten up things in your world here on the earth. Because whatever you bind on heaven, bind on earth, it shall be bound where? In heaven. Now, he's not talking about the third heaven where God is. He's talking about the spiritual realm of heaven that we don't have dominion over. See, our dominion is limited to the earth realm because that's where we are. Everything that belongs to us from our role and responsibilities in life. Amen. That's our dominion. All right, so we use the name, we use the blood, we use the word of God to release power and authority against the devil, demons, and evil spirits. Keys symbolize authority. Keys release power within with their words. Look at Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? Well, we'll see a lot of people in your family may not understand what you're doing, but God will give you words. The Holy Spirit will quicken words to you to release in prayer so you can release power and authority. Is that good? So as kings and priests in Christ, in the God King of God, we are to rule in dominion and authority that Jesus restored back to us through him, through his name. See, what God did in Christ overwhelmed, overcame, and overtook and undid everything and anything that was done, that Satan done in Adam. So he got everything back plus more. And then he gave us his name, which represents everything that's been restored back plus more. Amen. Are you seeing this? Now let's look at Matthew 18 and 20. It's right there in your handout. Assuredly, I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound, not might be, not maybe someday going to be, bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done of them of my Father which is heaven. For where there are two or three gathered together in my name, that I am there in the midst of them. Now let's look at this for a minute. Why binding and loosing? We'll talk about this in a minute before you go to the back. Because in Christ, we are created and called to walk in dominion. In Christ, listen to me, we are called and recreated in Christ, and called to walk in dominion. So we've often referred to, we have an honor walk, a love walk, walk by faith. But part of your walk by faith is a walk in dominion. Who's dominion? Jesus is dominion. Amen. And see, until we render Satan powerless, we cannot walk in dominion. Because he gave us the keys. He didn't keep the keys to himself. He gave us his name, the blood, amen, the word of God. He gave us everything that we need to walk in dominion, which will lead to our possessing our possessions. If you need to take your healing and health back, that's part of the dominion package and process. If you need to take what the devil stole back, that's part of your dominion and authority that you've been given. But the key is, that's why did Jesus tell us two occasions, bind and loose? And in other scriptures we see where Jesus told them, he said, go, and he gave us not only authority, but he gave us power. Your words of faith contain power. John, if you would turn to Mark 3:27, it's not in the handout, but if you can turn to that scripture real quick. Mark 3:27, just put it up on the screen, I'll read it. Mark chapter 3. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first does what? Binds. Think the concept now. Binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. See, if the devil stole stuff, you can go into the enemy's camp and take it back and get it back. Y'all see the concept now? You got to bind the song around. So what is Jesus telling us? Jesus tells us why Satan must be first rendered powerless before he can walk in dominion. Amen. So make this note, if you write notes. The first step to triumph in any conflict with the forces of darkness is to see the weakness of the opposition. He's a defeated foe. He's spiritually dead. Amen. He doesn't have authority or power over you unless you allow him through ignorance, listen to me, consent, or disobedience. He won't have any chance or opportunity to lord over you or dominate you unless you give him. Remember, Jesus said, whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose. Now, I want some of the modern translations to say, whatever you permit whatever you allow will be allowed. So you can run, let the devil run like a defensive end running around the corner and coming to blitz you. He's just going to come rushing in and take everything that he can and leave a trail of disaster and devastation. You can just let the enemy run right over you if you allow him. Through ignorance, consent, or disobedience. If you're not doing what God tells you to do, if you're walking out in an area of disobedience, then your power is not clicking, not working good. Amen? If you allow the devil just to constantly afflict your body, afflict your family, afflict and attack your and assault your finances, come on now. God says, I can't do anything. Because I gave you the power, I gave you the authority to walk in dominion. Amen. So we can't be ignorant, because ignorance and victory are impossible roommates. And we can't give him consent just by watching and going, wow, I can't believe this just happened to me. I can't believe they did that to me. I can't believe that. I can't believe. And what are we doing? We're ignorant. Not knowing that we're not, God didn't die, go to the cross, raise from the dead so you can be a victim. Too many victims in church. He died so we can be victors. Amen? Amen? And remember, our contention, our conflict with the devil is not for victory. That's the ignorance part that goes beyond not knowing scripture. See, some of us know scriptures, but we don't really have revelation of scripture. That's why the prayer that Pastor Cynthia prayed in during pre-service prayer and prayer that we always tell you, you should pray this every day. The Ephesians 1 prayer. It is one of the most important prayers you need to be praying often. Why? Because faith is based on knowledge, but it's not just head knowledge. It's just not general passive academic knowledge. It is based on revealed knowledge. You have to have revelation knowledge of the word. Revelation that I'm not fighting for victory, I'm fighting from victory. I'm fighting from it. Amen. So the first step in triumph in any conflict, listen to this very carefully, we with the forces of darkness is to see the weakness of the opposition. Unless you see him as a defeated foe and a disarmed devil, you're going to always be fighting for it. You're going to be fighting for your rights and fighting for your family and trying to run down your kids and trying to run down your family issues and trying to run down your financial problems. Amen. And not knowing that you have keys and you have power and authority to walk in dominion. And you can shut it down. Just as soon as the devil tries to flare it up, you can just shut it down. Come on now. You can bind it. You can loose it. You can do whatever the Holy Spirit directs you to do and to get it taken care of supernaturally. Where? In the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because you've been raised up far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're king. That's your position. That's your power level. You're a king under the King of Kings. And he's given you granted you the authority, right, and privilege to be able to shut all this stuff down that the devil tries to bring into your life. But if you allow it, he has to allow it. Come on now. Are you listening to me? So you got to see the weakness. If we are to walk in dominion over the forces of evil, our principal requirement is light, revelation. You got to see yourself in him. See yourself raised up, seated next to him in heaven. And then you're not trying to contend with the devil for something. You're right there up there next to Jesus saying, I'm going to reinforce the victory of Jesus. I'm shutting you down, devil. Take your hands off of it. Take your hands off this. I command you to cease and desist in your maneuvers and stop in your operations. Somebody say, glory to God. Now, how often do you need to do this? Well, the devil never takes a day off. The devil never, he's not a natural foe where he needs sleep and slumbers. He's always restless. Because in that scripture we just read, the devil walks through dry places, seeking rest. He's a restless foe. He's always persistent. So if he's working against you every day, what do you need to be doing every day? You need to be shutting him down. Shutting him down. In other words, you got to release your authority. Is everybody good? Get the concept. Don't get stuck on the words. Praise the Lord. Now, here's some more things you need to be. See, you must see and know that you are superior to opposition, to your opposition, because God has placed you above. That's the wisdom of God. Ephesians chapter 1, when you pray that whole prayer through the whole end of the chapter, you'll see he's placed you far above all principality and power. And then you go down to chapter 2, verse 6, you see that you're seated with, he's raised you up together and made you sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality. So you got to sit down as a king and give your faith command. Some of us don't pray enough or get in the spirit enough to get to that place where we're sitting down and the Holy Spirit said, okay, you need to deal with this devil. He's coming in right here. He's coming at this child or coming at this family member right here. Shut it down. You know, and the Holy Spirit will tell you how to do it. He'll lead you in how to do it. Amen. See, we need to know this truth and walk in its consciousness as well. No man or woman can enter into the inheritance except he or she first renders the opposition powerless. Jesus gave us a principle. Mark, we just read it. Mark 3:27. You don't go into their house and take anything unless you first bind the strong man. But you got to see that this opposition you're facing is not superior to you, it is inferior to you. And once you have a consciousness and a concept of that, then you walk in as a victor, not a victim. Amen. I mean, we've heard the phrase, the battle is the Lord, the victory is ours. The victory is already ours. You already know the outcome before the onset of your confrontation against the enemy of your soul. You already know the outcome before the onset, so you just already declare it. I have authority over you, Mr. Devil. Take your hands off of this. The Holy Spirit may tell you to plead the blood against this. Hold the blood over that situation. He may tell you to use the word bind. He may tell you to use the word loose. You have to do what he tells you. Hallelujah. Don't get religious about it. Everybody see this? It particularly occurs when you're in the spirit. That's why one of the scriptures that we says is one of our pillars is that you pray at all times earnestly in where? In the spirit. That's your positional authority is spiritual authority. You're dealing with a spiritual opponent. You got to keep him in the spiritual realm. If you're running around chasing your tail, but with your tail tucked between your legs, trying to chase after your kids because they're drinking, or your spouse is drinking, or people using drugs, people doing all kind of crazy stuff, and you're trying to hustle and bustle and control and manipulate the situation, you're going to wear yourself out, and the devil's going to whip your behind. Praise God, I'm preaching good. When you got authority over that. That means you got to meditate on and meditate and pray on earnestly every day. Ephesians 1. Colossians 1 is another one. The revelation prayers, supplication. You need to be praying the Colossians 1, Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, and of course Ephesians 3, you know, all the scripture prayers on a consistent, regular basis. Why? Because you need to be, you need to have that revelation flowing. Amen. And then you get like Brother Hagin said, when you see the devil coming down the road, you start rejoicing. Why? Because you already know the outcome before the onset. Here it comes. It's another opportunity to see God's word come to pass in my life. This is another opportunity for Jesus, God, to get the glory from the victory that I'm going to experience in my life. This is another opportunity to rejoice in the victory of Jesus, to reinforce the victory of Jesus in this situation. Come on now. You start rejoicing in the victory before the battle even happens. I know, because people don't look happy. People look all concerned and all heavy laden, because why? They're trying to get victory. They believe I got to struggle and fight for victory. Come on, stop struggling and start reigning. Start ruling and reigning in life through Christ Jesus. Come on now, as a king and as a queen. Hallelujah. See, two things that effectively bind, we need to bind, effectively bind and lose. Number one, faith in your heart. You know, if you got fear, if you got sin, you know, if you got aught against people, you know, your faith won't work. You know, faith needs those additives, right? So you realize that you can't believe beyond your revelation of God's word. So if you just have head faith, oh, that's exciting. But then you never meditate in it. You never pray it. You never profess it. Then it's hard for faith to be there in the heart. Because when the devil comes and socks you in the mouth, you're going to stay down or you're going to bounce back up. You got to have faith. Remember, faith makes a bold command. Real, genuine faith is bold. It's confident. I'm not saying it's loud. It's confident. It's bold. You don't mind, like that guy, Mark Hankins said, you know, grab a cornstalk and swing over hell and spit in the devil out. You have that kind of spirit of faith. You grab a cornstalk, swing over hell, and spit in the devil's eye and tell him, I double dog dare you to come at me. Because you're going to beat him up and beat him down. Come on now. See, y'all, look at we need to get confident and bold about these things. Come on now. Faith makes a bold command. Like that man who hadn't walked at the gate of Beautiful for a number of years and begging alms. Remember, we just read it here, just in our recent Bible reading. They said, we don't have money, but we do have the name. In the name of Jesus, come on now, rise up and walk. And immediately, come on now, they weren't expecting something to happen 20 years from later with all this therapy and all this stuff. Immediately, he began to leap and walk in the temple praising God. Come on now. Somebody say glory to God. Remember, faith makes and maintains a bold confession. You're like a bulldog with your confession. You hold on to it. You don't let it go. You don't change it. Amen. When people ask you about the situation, you say, this is what I say. These are my brains. I'm saying what the word says. I'm sticking to it. I'm not letting it go. Praise God. And then three, you boldly claim what belongs to you. You know healing belongs to you. Why not go in the enemy's camp and say, I'm taking back my healing? Because we don't have faith in our heart fully. We haven't received the word of God appropriately in that area where we're fully persuaded that this belongs to us. Are y'all here today? Amen. Two things we said. The reason we say this, because two things God can't do for us. Number one, he can't receive for us. God's not going to do your receiving. He's already made family peace available. He's already made family salvation available. But he's not going to receive it. You're going to have to use your faith to use your faith to win your family members to Christ. That doesn't mean you do anything, do everything. That means you got to use your faith in everything. I mean, it could be simple as the Holy Spirit telling you, surround them with faith and love. And pray the Ephesians prayer over them every day for 10 days and claim their salvation and deliverance. You ain't got to be there in front of them preaching to them because a lot of times they won't listen to you anyway. But see, there's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. You can be here or you're listening. They can be in Florida, but your faith is working on them there in Florida. Are you listening to me? Because there's no time or distance in the realm of spirit. That's why faith is a spiritual force. Satan can't touch that because that can move mountains. That can pluck up sycamine trees. That, come on now, that can turn up, that can dry up unfruitful trees in your life. We got to get back. That's why we haven't faced. That's why we haven't faced school. Because the Lord said everybody needs to get back to the ABCs of faith. I mean, you ought to wake up blinking your eyes in faith. You ought to go to bed in faith. You ought to go to the bathroom in faith. You ought to eat your dinner in faith. Come on now. Some of us need to get our faith so charged up and redone up and renewed up. Praise God. It's a desperate situation. Because we lay our faith down. But God's telling us he can't receive for you. Your faith is a receiver. Remember, hope's a good waiter, but it's a poor receiver. Faith is a good receiver because it's a taker. Remember, grace makes, faith takes. You got to take your healing. And it's in the spiritual realm. And the authentication code is written in the Word of God. By his stripes, we were healed. But if you believe, you will receive. In other words, you will take. The reason people take, they still try. They ain't in faith. They haven't received that word appropriately yet. That's why people try. I'm trying to prosper. I'm trying to get ahead. No, you're trying. You're not taking. Woo. You got to receive. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you got and he can't what? Resist the devil for us. My goodness, the Bible says that both require us to use and exercise our faith. I mean, you got to resist the devil. That means we do it. He doesn't do it. He defeated the devil, so all we got to do is resist him. Because he's trying to come and take back what he's lost because he's a thief. He steals, kills, and destroys. He's a thief. But you're the one that has to shut it down and say, no, you don't, Mr. Devil. No, you just don't run off, flip it in the mouth. You're in faith, believing, and you're in led by the Holy Spirit, which is the second thing. You need to be the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is where people go off because they got faith, and then they run like a bull in a china shop. And they end up binding up their kids instead of binding the devil, and they loose stuff that shouldn't be loosed. Because they're trying to be religious instead of walking in righteousness. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit. because you can't deal with unseen realm. You need a helper. And that's with the Holy Spirit. He's a helper. Amen. And he's a helper to help you overcome sin, sickness, Satan, and all these other things that come against you. So you need the leading of the Holy Spirit. You think Jesus just randomly said something to the fig tree? No, he said 9 words, and he stopped. Why? Because he only said, I only say what I hear my Father say. So the Holy Spirit told him to say those 9 words, and then he gave that command to that fig tree, and it dried up by the roots the next day. If he tells you to say something over a child that you're believing God to turn around or come back to God, or a spouse or a family member or something like that to come back to God, you got to be listening to the Holy Spirit. How do I do that? How do I pray over that person? You don't just run off and just cry and hang on chandeliers and run off at the mouth. Come on now. You get in faith, trusting God. Your faith is in God. All right, God, you're going to tell me the right words to say, because the word of a king is power. We just read it, Ecclesiastes 8:4. A word of a king is power. So you're a king. You're in a king's position. What are you saying, King? What are you telling me? What command do I need to give? And you give the command as you've been given. The Holy Spirit will help us in releasing our God-given right to command. The unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit needs to function and be flowing through you and teaching you and give you the knowledge of how. Everybody say, I have an unction and I have an anointing. Those are the 2 spots there. And then you have the knowledge. That will give you the knowledge how. Because he said you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. That's the anointing. The anointing in you is to help you know how and know what and know when. Because your biggest enemy is ignorance. But the Holy Spirit's an expert in knowledge. So you have an anointing and an unction to function fully in knowing how, not trying to know how or trying to stand how. How do I pray for this child? How do I get this done? Jesus is the way, but the Holy Ghost is the how. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. So who do we bind? Well, we bind the first three classes of demons on the earth. John, if you put it up, Ephesians 6:10, we're going to close here in a second. Looks like we're just going to cover the binding and loosing part. Okay. Ephesians 6:10. Well, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Next verse. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, when you study the armor, it's not physical armor. It's the armor of Bible knowledge, the knowledge of the word. The whole armor is the knowledge of the word, that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That means the strategies, the trickery, the schemes, the deceits of the devil. That's where the word wiles. Anybody ever seen that Bugs Bunny cartoon with the Wile E. Coyote? That's where wiles come. He's always trying to trick the rabbit. Remember that. All right, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But who do we wrestle against? 5 times he tells us, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. Those are the lower 3. Those are the ones we deal with. And against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now the heavenly places ones are in that second realm of heaven, the spiritual realm of heaven, that we can't reach because that's not our dominion. That's where our Lord does what we do. See, it's predicated on what we do. Whatever we bind, we'll be bound. Whatever we loose, we'll be loose. Right? And so we deal with those 3. I'm going to read something from Brother Hagin's book. I got an excerpt here taken out. Listen to this. The head of the church came to him in a vision and talked to him for an hour and a half, 90 minutes, on demons, evil spirits. All right? And it says he was saying about our authority in prayer. He was saying this. It doesn't take a gift of the Spirit in those situations in order to take a stand and exercise your authority over the devil. Listen to what he says. Jesus also said a believer doesn't need a word of knowledge to be or to be a minister in order to exercise authority over the devil. You got to deal with it. Every believer has authority to use the name of Jesus and take his stand against the devil. Now, he referenced Matthew 18, which we just read, and Mark 16, 17, Luke 10, 19, so forth and so on. Jesus explained, anytime anyone in the church or outside of the church is doing anything, saying anything, or acting in any way that embarrasses, hinders, harasses, intimidates, deters, or retards the ministry of the church, you don't have to have a discerning of spirits or a word of knowledge just to know it's the devil causing the trouble. So you got to know, if you are the church, the church is not this building. It's you. So something coming against you is coming against the church. That's why he said, when one member suffer, all the members, what? Suffer with it. So think about things that come to harass and hinder you from doing your assignment in the church is of demonic origin. People call out, fall out, flake out. Amen. Of doing their assignment as the church. Because just because you go home doesn't mean you're somebody says, well, I'm not at church, but you still are the church. Are you listening to me? And so that thing, that family issue that's causing you to be broken in your focus and distracted is taking you away from being what? The church. All right. Praise the Lord. You need to go in the spirit and deal with it. See, he said, this is, again, reading from Brother Hay, you are just to command the spirit that's behind the operation against the believer or unbeliever to stop and desist in its maneuvers in my name, in the name of Jesus. You don't have to deal with that person. Deal with the evil spirit behind the operation. We see many people, believers and unbelievers alike, unconsciously yield to the devil. Sometimes due to ignorance, people can innocently become a tool of Satan when they unconsciously yield to him. But people, even believers, also can consciously yield to the devil too. Although believers have authority to deal with any evil spirit that influences a person to harass the body of Christ, we don't have the authority to deal with the person causing the problem. Our authority doesn't extend that far because we don't have authority over human will, and the person may want the evil spirit. No one can get a person delivered if he wants to keep an evil spirit. That's why, listen to this, why binding the evil spirit behind the operation will not get the person causing the problem delivered of evil spirits, for he has a free choice or may want to keep them. But exercising our authority stops the evil spirits in their strategy against the believer. See, problems occur in this area when believers try to deal with people in the natural realm instead of the evil spirit influencing people in the spiritual realm. Many times we try to deal with people when we should be dealing with the evil spirit, and we get things in a mess. You know, because sometimes even with our title authority or positional, natural position as a parent or grandparent, we feel like we can interfere and we can influence. But you may be running up against a hornet's nest of devils. And if you're not in faith and if you're not led by the Holy Spirit and anointed by the Holy Spirit, you're going to make things messy. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. So we see these binding of the three classes. He said, remember, I told you when Jesus appeared to me in the vision in 1952, he said, you take authority over the first three classes of demons, and I'll take care of the spiritual wickedness in high places. Principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness of this world are all classes of demons which directly affect our personal lives because they rule in our domain, and so to speak. These are the ones we are to bind, listen to what he said, and take authority over on earth in the name of Jesus. And if we exercise our authority in Christ, we deal with the spiritual, Jesus will deal with the spiritual wickedness in high places. Now he quotes Matthew 18 and 18. And when Jesus said, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound where? In heaven. So Jesus wasn't talking about binding a principality of power up there in God's heaven, because there's nothing in God's realm that needs to be bound. No, Jesus was talking about the first heaven or the second heaven, because that's where the evil powers are at work. They're not up in God's domain. Principalities and powers keep ruling in the realm of the earth because they are able to operate through unbelievers or through ignorant or disobedient believers. But believers can stop principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world in their operations in Jesus' name as they exercise their authority in Christ. Binding the devil in his operation against us is the scriptural way to deal with evil spirits ruling in the heavens. And then he's giving an illustration. I'll give it to you real quick, and then we'll get back to some more points here. He said, let me give you an illustration of scripture dealing with evil spirits that occurred in my own life. I was preaching in a larger city, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. Remember, we said you got to be in faith. Faith is based on revealed knowledge and faith in your heart, and then you got to be led by the Spirit. So he said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and directed me to speak out of the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Listen. You foul spirit in the heavenlies that you come against our nation and government, cease and desist in your operations against us. You foul demons, all three of you that inhabit this city, I command you to cease and desist in your maneuvers in Jesus' name. Take your hands off that man in political office. Take your hands off that group of men in authority. Stop now in the name of Jesus. You are a defeated foe, and in the name of Jesus, you must go. Then he stopped. He said, I prayed according to the direction and unction of the Holy Spirit. I had no idea I was going on in that city at that time, but the Holy Spirit directed me, and shortly after this occurred, a major political leader in that city was removed from office because of corruption and vice. As a result of taking authority over the works of the devil in that city by the power of the Holy Spirit, soon afterwards, judgment fell on the other corrupt political figures, and many of the key positions in government office were removed from office at that time. He said, I dealt scripturally by the unction of the Holy Spirit with these three evil spirits that were ruling in the unseen realm. Then in the seen realm of that city, corrupt political leaders were exposed and removed from political office. And he says, we have limits in our authority. In other words, we can't exercise authority over people, but we can do it over evil spirits. Amen? That's our jurisdiction. So don't get the lines blurred or mixed up in trying to control the person. And how do we do that? We get in their face and we try to give them a whole bunch of feedback and we try to persuade them and try to counsel them. I mean, you can't counsel somebody that's outside of the will of God. They have to repent, particularly if they're offended. You're going to get yourself in a briar patch. You're going to come out with all those stickies on you and thorns. You're going to come up bleeding and cut up and hurt. Is anybody hearing me tonight? Now, remember, as we're closing, that there's two concepts of bind. There's a positive concept, Proverbs 3:3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, but bind them about thy neck, write them on a tablet of our heart. That means to bind too. We use the illustration of the cloth, that how the African ladies would bend over and put that swaddling cloth around that baby and tie them around them. What they were doing, they were binding that baby to them. So everywhere they went, that baby went. What do we want to bind to us? Well, certainly you want to bind the favor of God. and things like we've shared with you before, you know, when you decree by faith around your kids, I surround them with faith and love. What are you doing? You're binding faith and love around that child. You might not go to school with that child or go where that child is going to work or wherever, but you surround them with faith and love. What are you doing? You're binding faith and love to them. These are powerful forces from heaven. But you got to have faith in your heart about it, and you got to be led by the Holy Spirit in it. Because he said every time you think, he would tell, Brother Hagin would tell people, every time you think about it, that child would sneak out of the house. One child was a cutter. One child was running off doing drugs and partying, staying up late till 2:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, walking away from God, don't want to go to church, all that kind of stuff. What do? You can't deal with the person. You got to deal with the spirit behind. He says, I surround him with faith and love. Amen. Pray the Ephesians prayers. Break the power of Satan over their lives. That's what you have authority over. Come on now. And then, of course, you know, we know the binding, the negative side is where this means, in essence, to bind up or restrict or forbid to shut up against Satan. So Jesus bound, you're right, he cast out Satan. Talking about binding the strong man. Remember, we read that verse. And then in Luke 4:41, he rebuked the deaf spirit and didn't allow them to speak. You can terminate and silence the enemy that's been talking to maybe a family member, talking to you. Amen. Now, loose is always in a negative context because he said, whatever you loose. Loose means to break up, shatter, scatter, or destroy. Dissolve, melt off, put off. So we know in the in Lazarus' account, John 11:43-44, that Lazarus, when he came forth, he was bound, what, with grave clothes. And he said, loose him and let him go. And so those grave clothes came off. So we can loose things. And then he said over in Luke chapter 13:11-13 and 16, we see that the woman who had that spirit of infirmity 18 years was bound by Satan with that evil spirit that was causing her to be sick, where she couldn't lift herself up. And he, what did he say? Woman, thou art what? Loosed from thy infirmity. What was he doing? He was breaking up, scattering, and shattering that spirit of infirmity over her. So Brother Hagin would do this when he would deal with money. He would say, you know, Satan, I command you to cease and desist and stop your operation. I loose you from your assignment against my finances. What was he doing? He's breaking up, shattering, scattering. Because the God is not holding back the money or hindering the money. It's Satan who's hindering and holding back things. So you got to do break his grip off of him, shatter his hands on him, scatter his operations from it. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Come on, let's stand. Hallelujah. We got to pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes. Manioso copia ni alzopani icumare que tu cose. Lengro bogose, nembran gosile, miuso tobaya no boat de gizigo. Yen bruke de nincopare, nico sopa. Yet learn your authority. Unlearn the things that you've been taught to beg and to plead and to cry and try. But learn the things and the truths of the Word of God, that you are victorious, that you've been seated in heavenly places. Meditate in these truths, and light will come into you. and you'll begin to set things right every day and every night because you take your place and you operate in that God-given grace to begin to command and control the enemy of your soul and loose his grip and his hold against your body, your family, your finances, and all of your life as a whole. So step up, step out. Don't let a day pass you by, but begin to let that faith command come out. Put the devil on the run, and you'll have, in these days, in these times, in these seasons, you'll have lots of fun. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you.